All my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You know, just before we went on the air, I'm not kidding, there's just this beautiful aroma of flowers. I today is Mother Angelica's anniversary. It was 8 years ago today that dear mother went home to the Lord, and I was in the chapel just now praying the Liturgy of the Hours and my rosary, as I do every day. And also, it's the 11th anniversary of the dedication of our beautiful little chapel of the Holy Family here. What a beautiful sign. And I still smell it. Well, you know, today, of course, by Wednesday, Judas's betrayal of our Lord. We're going to talk about a little bit about that, but I have another reflection. And forgive me for doing it, but these are beautiful reflections by Father Fernandez. Today's is on the way to Calvary. You know, we're just about ready now to enter into this beautiful Easter Triduum. We're going to also conclude our examination of conscience. But as I was preparing to come in here to get in my prayer time, just thanking the Lord for the many, many blessings. And you know, it would be a great blessing. Most of you probably know already. If you don't, the $1.1 billion Powerball lottery, there is a winning ticket. Last night, it was purchased at the ShopRite in Neptune, New Jersey. I'm praying that the winner of that $1.1 billion jackpot is a domestic church media listener. Wouldn't that be something? So, friend, if it's you and you're holding that winning ticket, the Lord just blessed you with a lot of money. Next week's our radiothon. Ah, wouldn't that be magnificent? One person won that. You know, I think people always say, you know, you'll never win. Oh, it's ridiculous. The odds are so great. Somebody probably said that to that person. Well, I'll buy a ticket anyway. At the ShopRite on Route 66 and 35, they're over in Neptune, Monmouth County. So let's pray that it's a domestic church media Catholic radio listener. Wouldn't that be an answer to a great prayer on this Mother Angelica's anniversary of her death and her birth into eternal life? So let's get started. Let's pray, my friends. We're praying this beautiful prayer of deliverance, a parent's prayer of deliverance, and I invite you to raise up all of your special intentions, especially for family and family unity, to heal hurts and division. And it's a prayer that if you go to CatholicExorcism.org under the deliverance prayers for the laity. These are prayers that we as lay people can pray. And especially as a spouse and a parent of minor children, we can cast out evil because we have authority over our own bodies, over our spouse, and also over our minor children. We also ask Almighty God, as the prayer says so beautifully, to hear a parent's plea and cast out any evil from our adult children. So let's begin, my friends, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits who are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my brothers and sisters, let's raise up our hearts and minds in prayer to the throne of Almighty God with our special intentions. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. And our prayers to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Mother, as Holy Father asks to pray to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. We add to that intention to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God, do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. For all the financial needs of Domestic Church Media as we approach our spring radiothon next week. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And in a special way today, Mother Angelica, pray for us. And we'll pray, my friends, the Memorare to St. Joseph. Beautiful prayer. And I should have had it ready here, but I don't. Very powerful prayer. So let's raise up, again, all of your very special intentions right now. Remember, O most illustrious patriarch, St. Joseph, on the testimony of St. Teresa, your devoted servant, that never has it been heard that anyone who invoked your protection or sought your assistance has not obtained relief. In this confidence, I come to you, my loving protector, chaste spouse of Mary, foster father of the Savior of men, and dispenser of the treasures of his most sacred heart. Despise not my prayer, but graciously hear and answer my petition. And now, friends, we ask again, dear Saint Joseph, to intercede for us on our behalf, before the throne of God, for all of these special intentions that we raise. O God, who by your ineffable providence chose Saint Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant, we beseech you, that he whom we venerate as our protector on earth may be our intercessor in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, my brothers and sisters, thank you so much for praying. Now, next Tuesday, April 2nd, which is the first Tuesday of the month, normally Bruce would be here with his program, Come to the Throne. But because we're having our spring radiothon next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that program will not be heard on Tuesday because Bruce will be here with us for 3 days. We'll be praying throughout the radiothon. You know, one thing you can do during the radiothon, we always encourage it, is when you do call in to make a pledge, a support, even if you can't afford that, you just want to call in and ask for prayer, please do, because we'd love to pray for you. Bruce loves to pray for you especially. I do too, but he has that wonderful charism of intercessory prayer. So it's coming up next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, within the octave. And we just ask you, please, my friends, to pray for us for success, because it's our major fundraiser. And if we don't raise what we need, and I'm still waiting, I'm going to ask our wonderful bookkeeper, Tammy, to give me a number to shoot for what we really need at this point in the year as we approach summer. And I'll share that with you during the Radiothon. But we have to be here. It's so important these days, especially when the world is just crying out. You know, brothers and sisters who, like yourself, me, trying to live a good, holy, Christian, Catholic discipleship. But there's so many of our brothers and sisters who don't know Jesus. So many of our brothers and sisters who have left the church. And we have to pray that they return. Jesus is our only hope. You know, we're coming up into a presidential election, and we have all kinds of things that we do in this country to make life better, I suppose. But this life is temporary in this world. We're only here a short time. We really need to be working on how we're going to spend eternity. And that's why this apostolate is so important, because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we proclaim the Easter message that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose from the dead for us to open up the gates of heaven. And people who live in this world for this world and for worldly things, you're losing. You know, I think as we were praying, we should probably pray for the individual, or maybe it's a group of people, who knows, who won that $1.1 billion lottery over here in New Jersey, over in Neptune, because worldliness can destroy. And I pray that whoever it is, whether it's an individual, a family, a group, that they understand that. That even that $1.1 billion one day will be nothing but dust. You're not taking it with you. Oh, how I pray that's a listener. Wouldn't that be? I tell you what, that would knock me over like a ton of bricks if it was a listener who won that money. Who'd want to share some of it with Domestic Church Media so we can keep proclaiming this beautiful Easter message. Maybe it's someone, maybe not an actual listener, but one of our listeners know who it is. You can encourage them to make donations. Next week during our Radiothon, surprise me. Call in and pledge that $1 million. That'll be great. Or more. All right, let's, where are we going? We're going to go to Father Fernandez. The way to Calvary. You know, tomorrow we start our beautiful Easter Triduum. The liturgy that we have tomorrow, the Holy Thursday liturgy, is one of my, if not my favorite, one of my favorite liturgies all year long. It's very unique. You know, here we are. Now, Lent officially ends, I think, tonight, or with the opening of the liturgy tomorrow evening. You know, there's no morning Mass tomorrow. There's the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper. And you notice, those of you who go on a regular basis on Holy Thursday, or maybe you don't know, but the vestments are white, the altar linens are white. We sing the Gloria. I love when we sing the Gloria and the bells ring during the Gloria. It's just such a joyful, joyous liturgy. And then, of course, Father will wash the feet as Jesus washed the feet of his apostles. So we have the washing of the feet during the liturgy. It's the day that that Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist and also the priesthood. And it concludes by bringing our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament to a place of repose for people to go and spend time with him. And that then begins as our Lord, after the Last Supper, went into the garden in agony. And we know the rest, Good Friday and the glory of Easter. So it's a beautiful 3 days that we live through our liturgies. So entering into it once again, you know, Cheryl and I were talking about this morning over our morning coffee, about suffering. You know, we have special and family intentions we've been praying for a few years now. And it's a very sad situation in our family. Our hearts break every day. And I said, you know, this is the way now, especially during this week, but especially over the next 3 days, it's an opportunity for us to take that suffering that we're experiencing, very heartfelt, deep suffering, and unite it with the Lord's suffering in a special way during the Triduum. Lord, I'm sharing in this suffering, and you can all do this yourself. You know, whatever you're going through, that it's a way to unite that suffering with the suffering of Jesus. Now I understand in just a little bit, because it certainly doesn't compare at all to what you went through, but I can experience with you a suffering, and I'm going to offer it up. And so Father Fernandez says, after a night of suffering, of insults, of scorn, torn by the terrible torment of the scourging, Jesus is led to be crucified. Then Pilate released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified, says the Gospel of Matthew. The people don't accept an exchange for Barabbas, an exchange of one who was innocent for one guilty of robbery and murder. Jesus is condemned to suffer a painful punishment followed by a savagely cruel death reserved for criminals. Very soon, everyone can see that he's already far too seriously weakened to be able to carry the cross on his shoulders right up to Calvary. A man returning home, Simon of Cyrene, is forced to help. Where are the disciples? Jesus had spoken to them about carrying the cross, and they had confirmed with great vehemence that they would go with him even to death, the apostles said. Now, not even one of them is to be found to help him carry the piece of timber to the site of the execution. A stranger has to do it, and that under threat of force. There are no friendly faces around our Lord, not even one willing to commit himself to say a word in his favor, let alone champion him. Even those who were cured or those who had received some benefit from him now do not wish to be conspicuous. What Isaiah had prophesied several centuries earlier is now fulfilled to the letter when he wrote in Isaiah 63, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the people no one was with me. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. And if we just meditate on that reality, my friends, you know, he had his apostles, these 12 men. Of course, one betrayed him. Now he has 11 left, faithful to him, but scattered to the point where even Peter, the one to whom he gave the keys of the kingdom, denied him 3 times, that he even knew him. Probably lurking in the darkness, peeking around a corner, hoping that it would not also be their fate. It would eventually, except for John. But no one came to help him. And Father Fernandez makes a very interesting point. Not even the ones that he cured, the blind, the lame. No one came to help him. And you see, God, who is outside of time, allows us the opportunity to help him by our own prayer today, by offering our own suffering and uniting our own suffering with his, to be with him in the garden, in the agony, to be with him as he is scourged at the pillar, to be with him as they push that crown of thorns on his head, to be with him as he carries his cross. By our prayers, we can lighten that heavy burden, because it is our sins for which he's doing that and caused that. So we have opportunity over these next 3 days, especially throughout the entire year, but especially these next 3 days as we enter into this beautiful Triduum, to be present with him in prayer and to offer our own suffering and unite our own suffering with his. Father says, Simon gets hold of one end of the cross and lifts it onto his shoulders. The other end, more weighty, the one where there has been no response to love, the one freighted with the sins of each man, this end is carried by Christ on his own. There's one exception to the desertion which the Lord experiences. Tradition has handed the incident down to us. A woman by the name of Veronica steps forward with a piece of cloth to wipe the face of Jesus. And on the fabric there remains an impression of the face of the Lord. Christ and the penitent soul, Veronica responded to Christ's love with reparation especially admirable because it came from a helpless woman who did not fear the ire of the enemies of Christ. Will the image of Christ's face be imprinted on my soul as on the veil of Veronica? Our Lord continues on his way. There has been some physical respite, but the path is tortuous and the ground uneven. His energy is dwindling. It is not at all to be wondered at that Jesus falls once, twice, three times. He falls and with increasing difficulty gets to his feet again. A few yards on, he stumbles again. Rising up, he tells us how much he loves us. Falling, he expresses the great need he has for us to love him. It is not too late, nor is everything lost, even though to you it may seem so. Even though 1,000 doom-laden voices keep saying so. Even though you are besieged by the furious faces of mocking and jeering onlookers. You've come at a good time to take up the cross. The redemption is taking place now, and Jesus needs many more Simons like the man from Cyrene. And there, as I was saying, my friends, you know, we have opportunity now. The prayers we pray today, the offerings we make today, the sufferings we offer up today, because God is outside of time, can be applied and united with Christ at that very moment that he's carrying his cross, at that very moment that he's sweating beads of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the very moment when the scourging, the lashes are ripping flesh off his back as the soldiers beat him. We can be with him. A little later on this journey to Calvary, Jesus passes by a group of tearful women who are weeping for him. He consoles them. Here is the call to repentance, true repentance, genuine sorrow in the truth of the evil that has been committed. Jesus says to the daughters of Jerusalem who weep at the sight of him, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." One cannot merely scrape away at the surface of evil. One has to get down to its roots, its causes, the inner truth of conscience. Lord, let me know how to live and walk in the truth. Forming part of the procession, their presence making his impending death yet more shameful, are two convicted criminals, described as two thieves. A recently arrived spectator to the scene would see three men, each laden with a cross, walking towards death. But only one is the Savior of the world. Only one of the crosses is the redeeming cross. Today, too, the cross can be carried in different ways. There's the cross carried furiously or sullenly, in a rage. Man writhes and squirms, filled with hate, or at least with a deep and burning resentment. It's a cross without meaning. And without any explanation, useless. Such a cross may even separate one from God. It's the cross of those in this world who seek comfort and material well-being, who will put up with neither suffering nor setbacks, for they have no wish to understand the supernatural meaning of pain. It's a cross which does not redeem. It is the cross carried by one of the thieves. You know, and that's a great instigation, lie of Satan, when in our own suffering tells us, don't suffer. You don't need to be suffering. And we begin to resent it. And as Father writes, you know, we won't put up with suffering. We won't put up with setbacks. We don't have any desire to understand the supernatural meaning of pain or suffering. It's a cross that doesn't redeem. That's the cross of one of the thieves. On the road to Calvary is a second cross, carried this time with resignation, perhaps even with some dignity, with an acceptance of the situation simply because there's no alternative to it. This is the one carried by the other thief. Little by little, he realizes that close to him is the sovereign figure of Christ, who will radically change the final moments of his life on earth. And for all eternity, he will be the one converted into, and who we know as today, the good thief. Understanding it's his own action that put him there. He's the one who put himself in that situation. You know, I was watching Mother Angelica last night on EWTN, and of course it was from 1995. Mother was just about ready to turn 72 years old, she said. But someone called Mother and was talking about her own suffering, that I'm trying to live a good Catholic life. I'm Catholic, but I've had a lot of setbacks and difficulties in my life. And I've looked to the Catholic Church. I've looked to other Christian churches. I've spoken to Baptists. And one Baptist person said, well, God punishes you for your sins. That's why you're suffering. And Mother said, oh, no. God doesn't punish you. We punish ourselves. And this is what the good thief is understanding, that his punishment for his crime is his own doing. Then Father finally says there is a third way of carrying the cross. Jesus embraces the saving wood and teaches us how we ought to carry our own cross. So he's going to describe it in a moment. Think about the crosses in your own life, my friend. I'm thinking about mine. As I mentioned, Cheryl and I have one great cross we've been carrying for a few years now. And Father says, think about that cross, the cross that you have in your own life, and how we ought to carry it. Father says we're to carry it with love, co-redeeming all souls with him, making reparation at the same time for our own sins. Our Lord has conferred on human suffering a deep meaning, being able, as he was, to redeem us in a multitude of ways. He chose to do so through suffering. For greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Saintly people have discovered that sorrow, suffering, and contradictions cease to be merely negative as soon as the cross is not seen to be on its own, but with Jesus, who is passing by and coming to meet us. My God, may I hate sin and unite myself to you, taking the holy cross into my arms so that I, in my turn, may fulfill your most lovable will, stripped of all earthly attachment, with no other glory but your glory, generously not keeping anything back, offering myself with you in a perfect holocaust. Simon of Cyrene got to know Jesus through the cross. Our Lord would reward him for his help by also giving the faith to his two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Soon they would be among the outstanding Christians of the early years. We instinctively, as well as with reason, feel that Simon of Cyrene would later be a faithful disciple held in esteem by the first Christian community in Jerusalem, as it all started with his carrying the cross. And from Isaiah, I went to those who were not looking for me. I was found by those who sought me not. At times, the cross appears without our looking for it. It is Christ who is seeking us out. And if by chance, before this unexpected cross, which perhaps is therefore more difficult to understand, your heart were to show repugnance, don't give it consolations. And filled with a noble compassion, when it asks for them, say to it slowly as one speaking in confidence, heart, heart on the cross, heart on the cross. Today's meditations provide us with an opportunity to ask ourselves how we have borne difficulties and sorrows. It is an occasion, too, to examine the question whether there have been brought to us. These have brought us closer to Christ. If we are co-redeeming with Him, if we are making use of these contradictions to atone for our faults. And my friends, that's exactly what we should be contemplating today, tomorrow, and the rest of this beautiful Triduum, that it is by our own suffering that we can unite with Jesus in a special way and give it to Him and unite it with Him and really enter into these beautiful Triduum days to the glory of Easter. I'll take a break. When I come back, we're going to go back to the examination of conscience, my friends, and conclude that today before we end our time this week. So stay where you are. More to come. I'll be right back.
"60 Seconds" with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
In the history of the world, only one tomb has ever had a rock roll before it and a soldier set to guard it to prevent a dead man from rising. And that was the tomb of Christ on the evening of the Friday called Good. What spectacle could be more ridiculous than armed soldiers keeping their eyes on a corpse? But sentinels were set lest the dead walk, the silent speak, and the pierced heart quicken to the throb of life. They said he was dead. They knew he was dead. They said he would never rise again. And yet they watched. They remembered that he called his body the temple, and that in 3 days after they had destroyed it, he would rebuild it.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
One of the things that we often think about in our spiritual lives is how to do something big for God. But really, most of the time, we should focus on how we can do something small for God. It's these small things that help us consecrate our ordinary daily activities and help us do everything for Jesus Christ.
Catholic Answers Live.
Heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weeknights at 6.
When you give in to thinking that's ripping you to shreds, that deflates your confidence, that caves into all your fear, you're not just thinking negatively. You're thinking in a way that's unholy. God wants His people to face everyday life not just redeemed from sin, but with redeemed attitudes, redeemed thinking, a redeemed sense of who they are. Stop beating yourself up between your ears all day. No wonder why you look tired all the time. St. Paul wrote, "We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." You should think like someone who believes in a God who created you with purpose, who gives meaning to every experience, even suffering, who bestowed dignity and royalty upon you, and who destined you for eternal glory. And why should you think that way? Because it's all true. So when the way you think builds you up instead of ripping you down, that's not just positive thinking. That's godly and holy thinking. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio. The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain.
Heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weekday mornings at 7.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
It's like the brides, you know, 10 were very, very fervent, and they had oil in their lamp, and they had oil, extra oil. Here were 10 that didn't, they had oil in their lamps, but no extra oil. Here the bridegroom is coming, and those who had just the oil in their lamp all went out. And they said, give me some of your oil. And they said, hey, we can't, lest we too run out. Now, the first thought in your mind is, they're uncharitable. Why didn't they share, right? I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing. But see, when we die, my friends, when the bridegroom calls you and me, there's no more time to get oil. You've had 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You got to repent. You got to go ahead of time and put oil in that lamp.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
And welcome back on this Spy Wednesday of Holy Week, March 27th, as we are about to enter into the beautiful Easter Triduum. Of course, today again, my friends, we just heard a beautiful little piece there by Mother Angelica. It is today is the 8th anniversary of her entrance into eternal life. And so we remember Mother in a very special way and ask for her prayers and intercession. You know, Mother was, I always said, when she passed away on this day, it was Easter Sunday, actually, back in 2016. Mother was very powerful in her prayer when on earth, but now, when she's no longer bound by earth in her glory, her power is unlimited, really, by the grace of God and through God's mighty love for her. And anyway, we go to Mother in a special way today as we have our Radiothon next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, a week from today, we begin. Please, my friends, I just ask you to be generous and to pray for us as we do that. It's our major fundraiser of the year in the spring. We have it every year, and we can't be here without support, so we just ask you, please. Especially next week as we are within the beautiful octave of Easter, the Easter days, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, and come to you. Now, we're not going to preempt all of the programming for 3 days. You know, as we do it, you hear a little bit of your favorite programs along the way. We kind of come in and out. Bruce Tobacco, Cheryl, and I will be here. And we're just praying for support, you know. And again, I'm going to throw it out there. If the winner of the $1.1 billion Powerball last night, one winning ticket bought at the ShopRite in Neptune, New Jersey. If you are a listener, thanks be to God. And if you are a generous listener feeling very generous with your $1.1 billion, although they don't get the $1.1 billion, right? They, a lump sum, they get 500 and some million, which is half a billion. Oh, shucks, gee. Anyway. Whether it's half a billion or $5, whatever you can afford, my friends, we need you. We do need you. So please pray about that over the next few days, especially through the Triduum. Now, this is my last program with you until next week because tomorrow, Thursday, Easter Triduum, you know, we're not here Thursday or Friday, but we have special programming for you. At the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow, beautiful teachings by Archbishop Sheen, recordings of Archbishop Sheen, teaching on the Eucharist and Holy Thursday. So that'll be heard tomorrow at 4 o'clock and then again at 10 o'clock at night. But we also will bring you from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., the Mass of the Lord's Supper. There'll be choral meditations beginning, I think, around 5:30, a Holy Thursday reflection by Father Groeschel at 5 o'clock. So a lot of very, very special programming tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Just keep your dial right where it is. And, of course, as we have been doing for the past few years, ever since the pandemic, on Easter Sunday, we have our special liturgies from Rome. We're going to bring you the Mass from Rome, the Holy Father's Urbi et Orbi message to the city and to the world at 6 a.m. Mass, Easter Sunday Mass from EWTN. And then at noon, we have Easter Sunday Mass again from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington. And then at the conclusion of that Mass, around 1:30, we've been doing this now since the pandemic, the rest of Easter Sunday, Easter music, just glorias, alleluias, proclaiming the risen Lord, about 10 hours of music coming right to midnight on Easter Sunday. So you can put us on as background for your Easter celebrations. And as we encourage you, put your speaker out on the porch in the front yard and blast it in the neighborhood. Let the people hear the beautiful Easter music, celebrating what the day really is. It's not about bunnies and eggs. It's about the risen Lord. And we want to proclaim that in music on Sunday here on these domestic church media stations. So please let us be a part of your True to Him. And then next week, my friends, I will be back on Tuesday with this program. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, we will be having our spring radiothon. So I just ask you, please, to open your heart and listen to what the Lord may be asking you to do to help us. All right, Where am I going? Oh, I'm going to the examination of conscience. That's what I'm doing. Where did I put it? Okay, so we'll pick it up with the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. So, again, examining our conscience. Which, by the way, most likely today, and not every parish is having confessions, but you probably can find a parish or two that will still have confessions today because they're normally not heard throughout the Triduum. But if you haven't been to confession yet, I encourage you, see if you can find, you know, if you go to special confessions, but I know there's one over here in Pendale. Our Lady of Grace has confessions tonight at 7 o'clock for those of you over in Bucks County. Okay. Anyway, so you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So my examination is, have I lied? I mean, basically, have I lied? You know, I once heard Mother Angelica talk about, you know, someone said, well, it's just a little white lie. She said, yes, but it's still a lie. It's still an untruth. Have I gossiped? You know, that's Holy Father Pope Francis has often referred to that particular sin, gossiping. There's that, I think it was St. Francis de Sales. Someone came to him, or maybe St. John Vianney. Somebody came to him in confession, a woman, and said that she confessed the sin of gossip. And he said, well, as your penance, I want you to tonight take a feather pillow, open it up, and throw the feathers out around, you know, let the feathers out, scatter the feathers about, and then come back and see me tomorrow. So she did. She did that, came back, and she said, Father, I did what you said. I got a feather pillow, and I opened it up and scattered the feathers about town. And he said, okay, now I want you to go and get every single feather and put it back into the pillow. And she said, Father, I can't do that. They're all over the place now. There's no way for me to retrieve all of them. And he said, so it is with your gossip. You can't get it back. Once you start, you know, so that's the danger, and that's the sin. Do I speak badly of others behind their back? To me, when we do stuff like that, and you're talking about people behind their back, and we probably at one time or another we're all guilty of it. But stop and think what you're doing. You know, speak truth, and speak truth to the individual. You know, one of the sad things about today's culture. That we see a lot of this, what they're calling the cancel culture, people who, with whom you don't agree and you have, a different opinion about certain things. A lot of people today will say, okay, I'm cutting you off. See ya. You're out of my life. I think I have friends that I've known since grammar school. And we are completely opposite on most social issues. But we're still friends. We speak truth. You understand who they are. They understand who you are. You understand where they're coming from. You don't agree with them. You don't confirm them if it's a sin that they're involved in. But you don't cut them off either. I remember hearing Jeanette Bankovic said one time a parent had called. They were having difficulty with their adult child who had left the church, and there was arguments and things. And Jeanette said, and wise advice, but don't cut off communication. You know, that's the link that's holding you together. You cut that off, you're done. Am I sincere about my dealings with others? You know, am I sincere in my dealings with others? Again, be truthful. You know, we talked about it yesterday. Their pilot was looking truth personified in the face and didn't even know what truth was. So be sincere. Be authentic. Am I critical, negative, or uncharitable in my thoughts of others? Ah, in my thoughts. Remember, we can sin by our deeds. We can sin in our thoughts. Am I critical, negative, or uncharitable in my thoughts of others? Do I keep secret what should be kept confidential? And again, that gets into, that can turn into gossip. It can turn into detraction. It can turn into slander. You know, you need to, you know, the sin of detraction, the sin of detraction is telling someone something about someone else that they have no business knowing about, even if it's true. Did you know that so-and-so is having an affair with so-and-so? Okay, that may be true, and it's a sin on their part, but you're telling somebody who has no right reason to even know that is a sin. You're committing the sin of detraction. So that person now has a different opinion of those people, detracts from his or her opinion of them. That's a sin on your part, even if it's true, and they have no reason to know about it. You know, you can lie about someone. That's a sin, obviously. But you can also speak a truth about someone to someone else that has no business knowing that. Well, you're sinning. You're detracting that, or I should say, creating a situation where that person's opinion of someone else is lessened because of what you just told them. The sin of detraction. Have I injured the reputation of others by slander? Or detraction, either way, you know. Again, we've all, not all perhaps, but many of us have been victims of that, and we've also been perpetrators of that. So be very, very careful. That's not bearing false witness against our neighbor. The ninth commandment, you shall not desire your neighbor's wife. Or husband. Have I consented to impure thoughts? Again, our thoughts can be sinful. We have to have, you know, we have to have self-control. We have intellect. We have free will. And the mind is a very powerful, you know, one of the things you hear people who have overcome addictions to pornography will say, and they'll admit, they'll say, you know, once the image is in your mind, it's there. You know, and it's very difficult then at times because of that very, very strong emotion to those types of things can be brought to mind instantly. And so that's why pornography is such a danger, because once you view it, it's there. It's in your mind. And then you may find yourself at a time of weakness consenting to that impure thought. Have I caused them by impure reading, movies, television, conversation, or curiosity? You know, today, my goodness, it's very, very difficult to watch some of these television programs or movies, even books. You know, what's being presented. It amazes me. You know, so yesterday I was watching, I don't know why, I was looking for the news on TV. It was on 5 o'clock or so, or 6 o'clock. And there was a film from 1959, because I looked it up, A Summer Place. Remember Summer Place? I had never seen the movie. I don't know what it was about. I know the song, dun, 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 was a hit back in the 50s. But it was this, it was toward the end of the film, this young couple where they were struggling with purity in their relationship. And it's a young couple, 20, 21 years old. And in this film, although there was no nudity and no visual other than a kiss, and no physical activity on film other than that, but it turns out that they gave in to that temptation, and the young girl became pregnant, and they got married. I mean, it was. But I was thinking, boy, for the 1950s, that was kind of risque. They didn't show anything. There wasn't any image, but the implication of what happened today. That's all thrown out the window. They'll show everything, it just amazes me how some of these actors, and especially actresses, allow themselves to be put into those positions of roles on film. I don't know. It's just, but that's, but that causes people to sin, because people who watch it and see the visual and the images will, can consent to those impure thoughts. It's you can see the devil at work, right? It used to be films back in the 20s and 30s, 1930, I think it was called the Hays Commission, where you couldn't even be on a bed reclined. The characters used to have at least one foot on the floor. If they were sitting on a bed with a member of the opposite sex, had to have one foot on the floor in the film. And that even carried over, of course, into television. People know that Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, who were married in real life, on their television show couldn't be in the same bed together on television. It couldn't be shown. It was considered immoral. So there were these morality clauses for films and television. Well, that, again, was thrown out the window years ago, but look at the result. But all of that, someone who watches these movies, these television programs, can develop these impure thoughts, and the images are there. It's a very, very dangerous situation spiritually. Do I pray at once to banish impure thoughts and temptations? A great exercise. Say the name of Jesus, Mary. Create the image of our Lord, of our Lady in your mind to let those impure thoughts disappear. Go away. Pray, Lord, help me in this temptation. Have I behaved in an inappropriate way with members of the opposite sex? Very, very sad today. Our young people are victims of this, and I think they're so immune to what's right and wrong in situations. Look at, you see all the images recently, a couple weeks ago from spring break, the way these people are dressed, what they're doing with each other. It's just, it's sinful. And finally, the 10th commandment, you shall not desire your neighbor's goods. Am I jealous of what other people have? Let's not be jealous of the person who won the $1.1 billion lottery in New Jersey last night. Because, as I said, the world and worldly things can really destroy a person. So we pray for that person, that family, that group, whoever won that money, that they just use it for good and holy things like Catholic radio. But don't be jealous of other people's success. So-and-so has they're making five times the salary that I make, and they have two homes, and, they have a beautiful car, and I'm just middle class, in a neighborhood with a 1,500 foot square foot home. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. Thank God for what you do have. Do I envy the families or possessions of others? Again, we have to be careful of envy. Am I greedy or selfish? The Lord blesses us with what we have. those of us who live in this country, we're better off than 99% of the rest of the world, even in our, you know, in our lower income levels. So be grateful and thankful for what the Lord has given you. And then, are material possessions the purpose of my life? You know, do I put more emphasis on worldly things? How much I have, what I've been able to store in my silos. You know, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. That's the Lord taught us through his parable what that type of attitude will get us. So you shall not desire your neighbor's goods. Again, don't be envious. Don't be greedy. Thank the Lord for what you do have. And if you find yourself in those situations where you're becoming envious of someone else's success or possessions or wealth or family, whatever, ask the Lord to help you overcome that that greed and that desire for things that, you know, just, again, everything will turn to dust. We're not taking it with us. As I once heard a good priest say, you know, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. You're not taking anything with you, no matter how much you gain in this world. Well, that's about it for me today on this particular topic, my friends. I have about a minute left, and just to let you know again that I will not be here tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I'm going to play for you two beautiful teachings by Archbishop Sheen recordings, because, you know, he is our spiritual patron, WFJS. Our call letters of two of our stations are for Fulton J. Sheen. His teaching on the Eucharist and on Holy Thursday will be heard at 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We have the beautiful Mass of the Lord's Supper tomorrow evening from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., and also choral meditations prior to that. So there's a lot of special programming tomorrow. I think tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, there's a special Mother Angelica program on Holy Thursday as we enter into this beautiful Easter Triduum. So keep your dial here. We'll have special programming for you, as I said, on Easter Sunday, beginning around 1:30, 10 full hours of Easter music, glorias and alleluias, all contemporary and traditional. So I hope you make us a part of your Easter Sunday as well. I will be back on Tuesday, God willing, in the next week, my friends. Again, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday of next week, our annual spring radiothon. Please pray for us and pray that people will be generous and help support this work. We need Catholic radio. We need Catholic media today more than ever. Have a blessed Easter Triduum and a glorious Easter. And I'll be with you during Easter next week. So thanks again for being part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you. In me.